This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Let's do the wall of sound, shall we?
The wall of sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
We should do that. All right, let's get to the wall of sound. We will start with the Carolina Panthers. All right, for the Panthers, just getting a win, it doesn't matter that the Saints appear not to be very good, even though I thought the opposite going into this game. I really thought the Saints were going to be very good.
Me too.
I don't know why they're not very good. It could be no Sean Payton, Dennis Allen is the coach, and that's definitely a different thing. But here's Matt Rhule, who's just happy to win a game of any kind.
Oh, yeah, please don't get me wrong. I wanted to win the first week. You know, I wanted to win the second week. So I'm just not going to feed into like, hey, it's been this long or that long. I think that's one of the problems, honestly, that we're trying to get our guys past is it's not like just because we won this week doesn't mean you're going to win that. Like, just every week, just go compete. And, you know, we're not a perfect team right now, so we're just going to keep trying to get better and better and better at it. But trust me, I'm happy. I'm happy that we won. I'm happy for these guys.
Yeah, look, they should be happy. They also have to recognize that, boy, we got away with a dreadful first half of offense. Their offense right now is, if Christian McCaffrey doesn't make the play, it's not being made. If I was going to nitpick, and we're going to get to Baker Mayfield here in a second. If I was going to nitpick, I would say, do you guys still have DJ Moore on the roster?
Right.
I mean, he's still on the team, right?
He shows up.
They don't use him.
No.
He had two targets. Maybe he might have had a couple of other. He had two catches. He carried the ball. I think he had one catch, actually, for 2 yards. He carried the ball a little bit. But, come on. You got to get your offensive weapons in the mix. You have to figure out a way to get them the ball.
We don't have a lot. Use the ones we have.
Right.
Please.
Hey, encouraging LaVisca Chenault. That is a huge play. They needed a big play. And they got it, but they need more. They need more of that right now. Baker's struggling. He throws some really, really curious passes.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Curious.
So he's better than me, so I'm not gonna
me too.
Not gonna rip him too much. Here's Baker on one of the keys to kind of battling through.
Yeah, I mean, to play quarterback in this league, you have to have a short memory. Got to flush the good and the bad plays because, you know, anything can happen. You know, I think we've seen in the past few weeks in the NFL, just league-wide, crazy things can happen. So you have to be able to flush it and play the next play. A lot of these games aren't over until the clock really hits zero. So that's just kind of how I've always been. Try and take care of the rock the most I can. But if things happen, got to play the next one. You can't harp on it.
I keep saying this. I really like everything about Baker Mayfield. And then the play starts, and I have my questions, I have my doubts. We knew going in to the season that the Panthers had upgraded a quarterback. We just didn't know how much. Right now, I would say it's not that much.
No.
It's just, but it is week three. I am not about snap decisions on players or teams through 3 weeks. You know, I thought the Saints were going to be good. It appears that I was wrong, but maybe 3 weeks from now I'll go, well, you know what? The Saints are pretty good, but I have no idea. But
Man. My
gosh, the Panthers offense needs better.
I just hope he can get a rhythm with everything. Maybe that's what he needs is he just needs to learn to play. I don't know, but I'm hoping it gets together for week four through forever.
We run out of time to use they should have played him in the preseason more. They should have declared
him
the starter earlier, but
what a concept.
We'll see. Let's go to college football for a sec. North Carolina did not do well against Notre Dame. And it really stems from one side of the ball. The offense for North Carolina is, for the most part, really good. I saw in terms of total QBR, if you put any weight at all into that statistic, Drake May leads the ACC. ACC quarterbacks in total QBR. He's been tremendous. Running game was non-existent against Notre Dame. That has something to do with the fact that Notre Dame at the point of attack on both sides of the ball significantly better than North Carolina. Here's Mack Brown on the real issue, though.
Yeah, our defense has been inconsistent since we've been here. So what I would say is support these kids and pick them up and be so positive and try to encourage them because they're trying really, really hard. And there's some very talented players out there that are going to keep getting better. I think tonight, anybody that walks out of this and couldn't see that they were better than we were doesn't understand football. 26 straight wins over ACC teams in the regular season. This isn't the first night somebody stood in here and talked about how good Notre Dame ran the ball.
All right, number of things there. First is, I didn't realize that UNC was the little engine that could. That's very nice. It's adorable that UNC would essentially bite the leg of Notre Dame. Yes, Notre Dame has won 26 straight ACC games. One of those is a great win. The Clemson win. During the pandemic season where they met twice, they met again in the ACC championship game, and Clemson won. The other game up in South Bend was a classic, and DJU played that game because Trevor Lawrence had COVID. DJU actually played that game and threw for like 450 yards. But Notre Dame won, and that was a regular season game. And Notre Dame played 10 ACC regular season games that year, and that's tremendous. But let's not equate winning 26 consecutive ACC games with climbing Everest. Let's try to avoid putting that in the same category as climbing Everest. The real issue is that North Carolina hasn't gotten the most out of their players. Yeah, North Carolina recruiting classes have been excellent the last 3 years. Excellent. It wasn't so good 4 years ago. The problem is that they don't really block all that well. And they just seem to be very light up front. It just looked like Notre Dame was playing down in class. And that shouldn't be the case, especially on your own floor. So, Mac, yeah, we all recognize that, yes, Notre Dame must have better players. Although, it just looks like they've gotten more out of their players. All right, we're not going to go back to the NFL. We're going to go to Albert Pujols. This came from KMOX, the flagship station of the Cardinals. Pujols, actually, earlier in this game, I'm pretty sure, had hit number 699. 700 home runs. This is a lot.
Yeah.
Would he do it in L.A. against the Dodgers?
There are Cardinal fans in the ballpark that want it to happen, and there are Dodger fans in the ballpark that want it to happen.
Pujols with the widespread stance, arms out over the plate. Bickford from the stretch. The 1-1 pitch. A swing, and there it goes! Left field, way back! That's home run number 700! Pujols hits a three-run homer! And he hit 699 and 700 at Dodger Stadium on September 23rd, 2022. 8:23 p.m. Pacific time.
Just incredible. And they let the crowd tell the story. How about the Dodger fans cheering an opposing player?
Yeah.
That was Friday night that Pujols did that. 700 home runs.
Amazing.
I mean, he's old, obviously. I mean, I think he's 41 now. If Albert Pujols didn't have such bad feet, because that's ultimately his injuries in Los Angeles when he went to the Angels. His injuries, his production waning was because it hurt to stand.
Yeah.
If you're Albert Pujols, and he's a big guy. But I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to create anything negative here. As far as we know, and there's no reason to believe otherwise, 700 utterly clean home runs. Now, the reason I bring it up is that because we never know. We never know about anybody. But 700 utterly clean home runs. And he already said he's not coming back. He's not. This is it. When this season ends, and there's a week and a half left, when this season ends, it's over for Pujols.
That's the way to do it. 700th, go out on top.
Incredible. He's going to play. He's going to be a major part of the what the Cardinals do in the postseason, too. So he's going to have that stage still in front of him. It's going to be in a wild card series. The Cardinals are almost definitely going to be the third division winner, so they'll host a wild card series, which, gosh, we're 2 weeks away from that happening. Less than 2 weeks away. There's only 10 days left in the regular season. All right, when we come back, Caroline Darney, USA Today on ACC Week 4, if we're not counting Week 0. Next. The first disappointing ACC football week. I really loved the position the league was in, headed to this week, and then Virginia Tech continued to do that, and then Miami did what? And North Carolina looked like they did not belong. So let's talk a little ACC football. My friend from USA Today, for the win, the one and only Caroline Darney. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. You're helping me. I always remember that. I'm stealing part of your day. Did I characterize any of that incorrectly? I really thought the ACC was doing well, and then Virginia Tech continues to smell bad, and I thought Norton.
Well, that's a loaded question, right? I was like, oh yeah, he's right. That was a non-conference game that I should be upset about, but I am one where I look, you know, I was like, oh yeah, Virginia Tech, that's bad for the rest of the league. You're right. I mean, there were some opportunities. It was a weird week, right? Because if you told me beginning of the season that the Kansas-Duke game would have so much on the line for ACC national perspective, like perception.
It doesn't really.
I would have been like, what year is it? No,
what
I mean,
sport
maybe,
is
maybe
it?
Maybe it didn't. Also, joking, yeah, that's a better first question. I think it did in one sense. I feel badly for – I think Kansas should be ranked.
Yes.
Rank Kansas, you cowards. But part of the reason that they're not is because the name Kansas is in the front of their football jerseys.
Right.
And they just beat an also undefeated Duke team. So, I mean, that's the same. It's all these associations with what should and should not be great football. I think it's a shame that the ACC continues to get knocked for NC State being good and Wake Forest being good, who I think are legitimately very good football teams this year.
Mm-hmm.
But because Miami did what they did, who I don't think is a very good football team this year and hasn't been a very good football team for a while because of their own issues and coaching changes and all the stuff that they've had going on down there, it's become a bigger, honestly, the same thing for Virginia Tech. There's still this association with the ACC that if Virginia Tech in Miami and Florida State aren't good, then the entire league is bad. And I have never subscribed to that. Maybe because the school that I follow isn't one of those three. Maybe. But it's been the case for those three for a lot longer than just this year, which I think is mm-hmm. a bigger issue and a whole nother, you know, a whole nother spot on the radio for a whole nother day. But, yeah, they had a chance to not, I don't want to say embarrass themselves. This feels a little strong, you know, but
feel free.
At the same time, there's really no situation in which Miami should be manhandled by Middle Tennessee State.
Oh, they were second best. They were second best. I know they're making a big deal out of the fact that Tyler Van Dyke got benched. I'm not sure what we're seeing is really Tyler Van Dyke's fault. They have other issues. No. They have offensive line issues. They have skill position player issues.
They have massive defense issues.
Yeah, they have that. And I mean, to be fair, it's not like Mario Cristobal is a Miami guy. But yeah. We've for those of us who have been paying attention to Mario Cristobal during his time at Oregon, it's not like people weren't super critical of Mario Cristobal at times with some of the things he did at Oregon. So it wasn't like they were bringing in, you know, the best of Chris Peterson or the heyday of Chip Kelly. People were going after Cristobal for various decisions. Setting Miami aside, the larger point you were trying to make about, and this goes for whatever, like we can put it in basketball terms too. It doesn't make a difference if you've got a bunch of really good teams. If Duke and Carolina are not good, the rest of the league will not get any respect because those are right. Yeah. So in ACC football, with all respect to Clemson, who is the lead dog by a fair amount. I want to talk about Clemson Wake. I don't want to talk about state Clemson going forward, but if Clemson's the lead dog, we have been needing schools and football brands like Florida State, like Virginia Tech, like Miami, to start pushing at the bottom of Clemson and to closing that gap. We haven't seen it in Blacksburg. We haven't seen it in Coral Gables. We might be seeing it in Tallahassee. I'm not 100% sure. They certainly look like this is the way I've phrased Florida State. They've looked competent, and they haven't looked competent for 4 years or 5 years.
No.
So what do you make of the Seminoles and their ability to kind of create another team?
I think that's the biggest thing is what Zach just said. They look competent. I'm not even ready to say yet that I think they should be ranked. Maybe that's where it is what it is. And, you know, but the wins over who they play this week, Boston College.
They routed Boston College, who's got other issues.
Yeah. And Louisville are probably probably the only two teams in the Atlantic that I don't think have a pretty good shot at making some noise in the Atlantic. Those I'm like, okay. You know, that LSU win was obviously big for them.
Right.
And that was a really, you know, you think that's something that normally would be a huge, big thing for the ACC, but then you kind of like, what has LSU got going on right now? Like, how big is that going to end up being?
Right.
Like, I don't know if that's...
Doesn't matter.
It's almost the same thing with... Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Florida State won a game that they wouldn't have won for the last five
years.
That's
the point. Yes, 100%. And that's where that's different to me than years previous with what we've seen from Florida State. Because the Florida State of last year, let alone 2 years ago, let alone 3 years ago, would have found multiple ways. And they tried to find a way to lose that game to LSU. I will give them that. But they would have found multiple ways to lose it well before that last drive.
They would have succeeded.
So I think, yes, multiple times over, I think, just absolute. I think that they have been one of the kind of like pleasant surprises for me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't expect this yet. It's the same, all the programs that we just listed come with gigantic pressure, right? That's why I kind of think the Miami thing's silly right now for people to think that right away, things are going to be completely different after the very messy way that you acquired the coach you wanted. That doesn't just solve everything.
Right. They bought the coach they wanted.
Yeah.
They wasn't
talk
leaving.
About pressure on Cristobal.
Yeah.
Like, we did all this for you. You know, I'm not saying anyone's saying that, like, but the understanding on the backside for me would be like, we did all this. Don't mess it up. Like,
I think
our guy. We brought you in. We paid extra, like, whatever.
I talked to him at ACC football kickoff, and I think he gets the fact that it's the long game, that it's not going to be a super immediate turnaround. It was reinforced really the last 2 weeks, the Texas A&M game. I don't think Texas A&M is great, but Miami, when it came down
to
it, if you keep getting those opportunities, if you can't move the line of scrimmage, which basically they couldn't, you're just not going to win games against, you know, even good teams. And that's what that was. You said Caroline Darney from USA Today is joining us here at CW Darney on Twitter. We're talking ACC football. You mentioned the rankings pertaining to Kansas or Florida State. Maybe I wouldn't rank them. I'm not agreeing or disagreeing. I haven't even thought about the rankings except in this context. Anybody that watched Clemson Wake Forest, what I can't fathom is how you could watch that game and drop Wake Forest in your rankings.
Yeah, that game was incredible, right? Like,
right.
I just absolutely enjoyed. That's exactly what you want from a conference game. It was two really good teams playing high level football. And some of the things, like, you'll go back and watch. I've seen stuff come across the timeline on Twitter the past couple days. We were just kind of like, look at this pass from DJ. There's literally the Wake corner could not have been in better positioning, and he threads the needle with the pass. Like, it was that kind of game. It wasn't like your team made a mistake and did this. And you can always say, like, oh, well, you should have done better on the quick drive that Clemson had to respond to things, sure, or you could have done better. There's always mistakes that are made, but it was just overall a really fun, really enjoyable football game that got interrupted multiple times by Aaron Judge strikeouts. So
I was following you on Twitter. That was hysterical. Yes, Aaron Judge, he left us hanging. He still has not hit his 61st home run. So the worst nightmare for everybody, I think, in the ACC is that Dabo Sweeney, we all thought Dabo was just playing a role. He's just trying to protect his guy. At some point, he's going to go to Kublik, the freshman. He's going to make the switch because he's better than DJ. Dabo might have been right.
DJ
looks better.
Jumped all over DJ. They jumped all over him too early last year. The problem is when you're a coach like Dabo or Saban or Day, you have there before DJ, there really was no noticeable drop off at all between the quarterbacks coming in. And in some cases, I think you could make a claim that they slightly improved each iteration that you got when you got Lawrence in there. And that's unsustainable and unrealistic. Like, welcome to the real world, Clemson.
Right.
And we still don't see that usually with, you have Bryce Young come in and he's literally a Heisman winner. Like, I get, like, so it's hard to fathom and realize that, yes, sometimes really good programs that are going to stay the really good top programs will have slight falters in their five-star coming in quarterback. Like, I think that...
So he's the, what you're saying,
a little overreaction.
What you're saying, Caroline, is that DJ Uiagalelei is like football players used to be 10 years ago, where they didn't show up as true freshmen and just become immediate superstars making all the plays, that it takes them a couple of times. If you go back, and I'm doing a little history lesson for other people, you go back and look at the best of Florida State, the best era of Florida State, none of their quarterbacks played until their junior years, until it started going the other way and Chris Ricks played.
Yeah.
All the way up until Chris Ricks, if their quarterbacks played 1 year, right, you might have gotten 2 years out of a quarterback.
Yeah.
But a lot of times you only got 1 year. But then Chris Ricks ruined it for everybody.
I mean, it's hard. And I think the other part that spoiled it was the first time that we saw DJ was in that game against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
That was, again, another, like, classic, like, just an incredible performance from and that stuff is so hard to replicate. So even if he's starting as a sophomore, it's just, it's tough. Like, it's a tough sport. So I think that, there were expectations that were maybe a little high, and he didn't play great last year. So I also understand the questions, especially if you're a team like Clemson that has backup five stars hanging around. Like, I mean, this is going to be the same situation in Texas in the next couple years, right? Because they've got Quinn Ewers, who's hurt right now, but probably coming back soon. They've just added Archie Manning to the, incoming class. What is that? The quarterback room is going to have 3 5 stars who are all like top 10 recruits or something like that. Like, that's a good problem to have, but at the same time, it also will make people more easily ready to go, why don't you try so-and-so? Yep.
You can't play. It's hard, like, to play more than one quarterback. Only Duke.
No. Oh, no.
Only Duke is succeeding in playing two quarterbacks at the same time. Of course, only one can play quarterback. Final thing for Caroline Darney, USA Today. And again, you can follow her on Twitter. I encourage you to do so at CW Darney. All right. State's going down to Death Valley. College game day showing up. Prime time game, national TV. I mean, for all we know, Hurricane Ian will also be in attendance at the game. Your thoughts on what that means for state, for the league? By the way, Clemson is a 6.5-point favorite.
Yeah, it's I don't want to be dramatic.
Go ahead, be dramatic. Who cares?
I feel like if anyone, if you want to stop Clemson from winning the division, you have to do it right here. I think state has to hand them a loss. I think them coming out of that Wake overtime game with a victory was huge when it comes, because I do think Wake is probably, after watching them play a couple times and now that Hartman's back too, thank goodness he's healthy again. Yeah. That was, I hate stuff like that. But I think Wake is probably the other team that I think is like, I think Clemson and Wake are so close in what they're working with. And I really do. And obviously an overtime victory, it's easy to say that afterwards. So I'm very smart. Like, yes, they're very close. but if anyone else wants to have a, if they have the tie break over state and Wake,
it's over.
I think that's, yeah. You know, I don't know what to make of Syracuse. You know, like I'm sitting here ignoring Syracuse, who's also 2-0.
Let's ignore them for the rest of this conversation. Let's just ignore them for now. Next time we talk, we'll talk about Syracuse.
But I think if NC State wants to kind of overcome, you know, again, this is all being said as a daughter of two state grads. This is not state hate, anyone listening, all that stuff. I grew up watching state, rooting for state. If state wants to kind of break out of that NC State stuff,
yep.
They got to make a move. They have a good team. They've got a solid defense. They've got exciting players. Like, I don't know that the early part of the schedule has been one that has, like, totally wowed. I think the Texas Tech win was huge. They didn't look super great in the ECU game to open the season.
They did not.
Very generous with that not super great. Like, I just think that, you know, especially ECU having that loss to Navy this week doesn't help things. I mean, they got the win, so in the grand scheme of things, not that big of a deal. Yeah. But this is going to be a real barometer. Am I using that? Is the right way to, say, like, where are they at? Yeah. Where are they? Like, and then guess what? You don't have any sort of rest, because then you've got another ranked team in Florida State next, and then you got that aforementioned Syracuse team that I'm not supposed to mention again.
At the beginning of the season, we looked at this three-game stretch as it's really just Clemson. As it turns out, it's not just Clemson. That's the overall strength of the ACC, with Florida State sort of looking like they mean business again. Real quick, we'll say goodbye here. Next time we talk, and hopefully there will be a next time if you'll allow it, we will allow a Syracuse conversation.
Perfect.
All right.
That's all I want. No, I'm just kidding.
That's it. That'll be.
Please don't make me talk about them after Friday.
Part of the negotiation. I'm sorry about that. But Syracuse keeps pulling rabbits out of hats. That's the second one, at least, so far this year.
Wild.
Caroline Darney on Twitter, @CW Darney. Thank you so much.
This is the Adam Gold Show.